The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had an experience in your life that you knew that that was a life-changing experience? Something happened, and from that point on, your life changed to a certain extent. Maybe it was the birth of your first child. You knew all of a sudden, I've got someone who is I am responsible for their life. Or maybe it was in military service. At some point in that military service, you knew that you were going to be changed for the rest of your life. Or maybe it was at a time of a crisis, a death of someone very important in your family. And you knew at that time then that you would have to change things. You would have to do things much differently than you ever did before. Or maybe it was at a spiritual weekend. In that weekend or in that retreat, God spoke to you in a certain way, which lifted you up and gave you a new commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Here in our gospel lesson today, the disciples have one of these events that happen in their lives, that their lives are changed. The transfiguration is, we usually think of Jesus being changed, being transformed, being transfigured. He became the glory of God shone all around him. But it was also the disciples who were changed in that event. This event takes place. It's a turning point in Mark's gospel. Mark is always such an interesting gospel to follow along because there's it moves very quickly. There seems to be a sense of urgency about Mark's gospel that's going on. Up until this point, Jesus has been up in the Galilee area, ministering to people, teaching them, preaching, healing, casting out demons. He's been doing his ministry up there in northern Israel, northern Palestine. And at this point then, right before this story then, Jesus makes his first predictions, or he lets his disciples know that he is going to Jerusalem, that he is going to suffer many things, he is going to die, and on the third day, raise again. Peter wasn't ready to hear it, and he says, "No, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Jesus goes on to tell them that they too will be suffering many things in their life. Now, the disciples up to this point had seen the glory of God in Jesus in a different way. They had heard his teachings and his preachings. They had seen the healings that he had done, the other miracles that he had done. But here on this mountaintop, they actually got to see Jesus' true form with that glory of God shining all around him. The disciples didn't know what to do. Peter asked, "Should we build three dwelling places or three shrines or three tents, three shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah?" They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. I think maybe they wanted to stay there. This was such a grand opportunity to see such important figures all together in one spot. But it wasn't to be. This story has implications from the past. It's very much tied to that history of God in the life of Israel, of Moses, who is the lawgiver. And there's kind of a reference there, too, because as Moses came down from the mountain, he also glowed with when he brought the law back down to the people. After meeting face to face with God, that glory of God clung to Moses as well then, too, as he came down that mountain. Moses was the lawgiver. He had spoke face to face with God, and God gave him the law, which tells what God expects of people and how they are to live their life. It's to protect that relationship between God and to protect that relationship with each other so that they could live in harmony. And then, too, on that mountaintop of the Transfiguration was Elijah. He represents the prophets, and Elijah himself was a reformer. Elijah came at a time when Israel was not doing very good. Many of the kings were corrupt. Also, too, a lot of the temple prophets were corrupt, and Elijah spoke truly to that truth of God. And he was trying to bring the people back to true worship in God. And so you had Jesus and Moses, the giver of law, and you had Elijah, one of the major prophets, all talking together. And it was a turning point then in this story of Mark, in this whole story of Mark, because from this point on then, Jesus heads towards Jerusalem. So it's not only bringing all that past to this point, but it's also for looking to the future. Because from this point on then, we're in chapter 9. This begins chapter 9. The story is at the beginning of chapter 9. And then Jesus goes back one more time to Capernaum in that Galilee region. But then he hits the road. The stories after that, he's on the road until he gets down to Judea and Jericho. And then in chapter 11, he enters into Jerusalem for that final time. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem from this point. He makes two more predictions to the disciples of what's going to happen when he gets there. And he looks forward to that. That's where his focus is at this point. For us, maybe you have gone through one of those experiences, through an experience that just uplifted you and knew that God was present in your life. And it makes a difference. Hopefully, on Sundays when you come to worship, or on Saturdays when you come to worship then too, there's a taste of that, I hope, within your lives then too, as we hear the word and also as we share in the Lord's Supper, to have that renewal once again, that strengthening of our faith, that gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into us. Maybe also too, on another note then, as you go through daily devotions, as you say your prayers, as you read scripture, or as you read Christian material, that too is also uplifting and strengthening and helps you continue on in your faith. We have those experiences within our lives. And we look to our past to see maybe you grew up in a Christian home. You look back to see how your parents raised you, and you may have had those experiences along the way, the small experiences and maybe large experiences to bring faith to you. But we come to a point then too where we start looking at that cross. We move at this point today, we move into Lent on Wednesday. And our focus turns to that cross. It turns to Jesus Christ in his passion of what he did for us in bringing about salvation. On this mountain of Transfiguration, not only is Jesus transformed, but the disciples are transformed as well. God also moves through us, through the Holy Spirit, into us to change us and bring us into his kingdom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.